How many of you have a piece of paper tonight that's blank on one side? You have the paper I have out Wednesday night, you've got a blank page on the other side. Wow, amazing how that works, isn't it? How many have something to write with tonight? All right, I encourage you to write. If you've got a notebook, that's even better yet. I encourage you, when you study the Word of God, jot things down so that you remember them. I've been enjoying looking at the book of James, and I want to zero in on something tonight. I don't want to take a long time, but there's so many things here. I really want to condense things down, but you're going to have to hang in there to stick with me. James chapter number 3, beginning in verse number 13, and down to the end of the chapter. I'm a little bit overheated and scratchy throat tonight, but we'll make her through all right. Verse number 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion. Into every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace with them that make peace. There's a whole lot of words in. We're going to look at those words individually, and we're going to have a tally. I'm going to be the referee, the umpire. You're going to keep the official score tonight, all right? We're going to divide those words into two different categories, and I want you to see something tonight. We talk about wisdom from above. One of the things that I learned very early in my Christian life and studying the book of James, it is a deep and a very convicting book. James, when I think of James, I think of three things immediately. He was a man of faith, he was a man of prayer, and he was a man of wisdom. And James, a man of faith, prayer, and wisdom. He knew Jesus all his life, but he never really knew Jesus until he saw him crucified and risen from the dead. And he experienced Jesus through the trials of life. He speaks often of the trials of life. I know that knowing about something or knowing about someone is far different than actually knowing someone or knowing something. You know, I know a little bit about cars, but I don't bother working on cars anymore. Or I find myself muttering this statement. This is why mechanics cuss. It's a little bit frustrating anymore. Now, older ones, I can handle a few things on them, but I just let somebody else. But I know a little bit about it, but I really don't know how to do it. I know about certain people, but I really don't know. Brother Van Gelder is coming next week. I've known about him. I've known some things of him for years, and you asked him who I was, and he wouldn't have until about 2 years ago. We met in person and spent some time conversing with each other and running to each other a few different places. There's a big difference about knowing about someone. I really don't know him that well, but I feel like I know him better now than I have in the past. And you understand how that works. And I like this definition of wisdom. James chapter number 1, I read that in a commentary somewhere. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. And I love studying the book of Proverbs. And the book of James is like the Proverbs of the New Testament. And there's three words that you see over and over in Proverbs and also in James. And you see them throughout the Scripture, but especially in those two books. There's knowledge, that's regurgitating facts. A lot of folks are content, and we live in a world that's impressed by people that can regurgitate facts. And whether those facts are true or not, that doesn't matter. But wisdom is learning to apply that knowledge and understanding it about God. A lot of folks know a lot about God, but they really have no application of God, and no real understanding. You understand someone, you know how they're going to react to certain situations, right? When you have a friend that you kind of get to know them real well, and you don't even have to ask them, you know what their answer is going to be because you understand them. And there's a difference between wisdom and understanding and knowledge. But let's go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to share some things with you tonight that I think will be a help to you, an encouragement to you, and as we talk about wisdom from above. Father, I pray that you would bless your word tonight. Help us to be like James, men and women of prayer, men and women of faith and of wisdom. Help us to recognize what true wisdom is and the difference between the world's wisdom and God's wisdom. The Scripture certainly has many things to say about that, and we're focused on just these few verses in James chapter number 3 tonight. I pray that you would teach us from them. In your name we pray. Amen. In James chapter number 1, he asks a statement, or he makes a statement, if any man lack wisdom, let him what? Ask of God. And by the way, be careful when you ask God for wisdom, because James chapter number 1 also tells us where wisdom comes from. It comes from the trials, the testing, the hardships of life. That's where we gain wisdom. Wisdom is not something you can get from reading a book. You can get knowledge there, but wisdom is applying that to our life. And God bringing you through the testing waters. And in all through the book of James, when we talk about the different tests, and I want us tonight to test our wisdom or ask ourselves, what sort of wisdom do I have? Do we dare ask for God's wisdom? Notice that God mentions in this text, it starts out in verse number 13, who is a wise man? Who is a wise man? As a kid, there's a... say, are you a wise man or a smart aleck? Wasn't there the difference there? But I want you to see throughout these verses, there's a number of things that are given. And what I did, and I didn't want to mark it all up in my Bible, so I just I've been doing some word search, and I've just been directed and focused on these verses for some time this week, and looking at some of these words. But I've noticed there's a wisdom from below and wisdom from above. And the wisdom from a below, we're just going to put a negative mark, okay? And we're going to keep score. How many things are identifying wisdom from below and wisdom from above? A positive mark by the wisdom from above. Verse number 15, it mentions the wisdom. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish, or from the devil. This is the negative wisdom. In verse number 17, it says the wisdom that is from above, and it gives some things about that wisdom from above. And we're going to just kind of go through these verses and notice some key words, and I'll give you a very brief definition of those words. I'd like to say a lot about each of the words, but we'll just keep it as brief as I possibly can. I love to study the Bible and study words in the Bible and try to get as much as I can in the shortest definition possible and cover everything that word has to say. And sometimes the word in the Greek language is different than the meaning of the word in the English language. It's good to go back to the original language, and I hope that doesn't scare you, but there's some good resources, some good tools that will help you in your understanding when you get in the habit of using them properly and rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're just going to keep score. Nobody really in here follows baseball much, but I thought we could have baseball with each of the verse, one inning. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 verses here, I think, if I counted right. We've got a 6-inning baseball game here. And we're going to have a score, the negative and the positive, see who wins at the end of each inning, all right? As we go through this wisdom and comparing the wisdom from below and the wisdom from above, we start at verse number 13, and it says, who is a man that is endowed with knowledge among you. I want you to underline that word endowed, or note that word endowed, and put a plus. There's one with God. This is a test. And by the way, when we study these tests and these things in the book of James and what we're looking at tonight, don't say, well, if I got wisdom, I've got to do this and this and this. No, this is a test to see if our wisdom is from above or from below. This is to examine ourselves, to look at ourselves. Not a way to get wisdom, but to identify what kind of wisdom we have. A wise man in endowed. That word endowed means gifted or granted. Notice he's endowed with knowledge. He's granted knowledge. You know, I think of a verse that God helped me to understand this years ago in Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 6. Just the second part of that verse says, knowledge is easy to him that hath understanding. Verse. Knowledge is easy to them that have understanding. In other words, we might not have a lot of knowledge. Some of us have very limited capability of putting things up here. We have limited storage space. But if we have that little bit of knowledge and we apply that little bit of knowledge that we have, God will give us more knowledge. It's amazing how that works. In Proverbs 14:6 is a verse that God showed that to me. Years ago that helped me to get from a C-minus student to an A-minus student, just learning to walk with God. A wise man, first of all, is endowed or gifted or granted in knowledge. God gives him knowledge. And then it says, let him show out of a good conversation. There's another positive, a positive mark, a plus mark. So we got one plus with endowed with knowledge, and then another plus mark for a good conversation. And of course, we understand the word conversation means what in the Bible? Can you help me out? Your conduct, your lifestyle, your manner of life. Did I hear that right? I'm guessing what I think I heard you say. our conduct, our lifestyle that is becoming to Christ. If we have the wisdom that's from above, we're endowed with knowledge, a plus, and then another plus is we have a good conversation. We live a life that's becoming of Christ. And then his works, the good conversation is works with, what's that word? Meekness. Now, I would say meekness is not weakness. There's another plus word there. With meekness. You know, the best way I've found to describe meekness, and you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross willingly, and that great song says he could have called 10,000 angels. He could have called a legion of angels, the Bible says, but to destroy the world and set him free, but instead, he willingly went. Meekness is not just submission, but it's a strong submission. Having the strength to retaliate, but choosing not to. That's a good explanation of what Jesus says. And there is wisdom from above. Well, we have an opportunity. Well, I could blast that person out of the water, but I won't. I'll let them go and rattle on them out. That's wisdom from above. It doesn't do any good to retaliate anyways, because you're really not going to gain anything by doing that. So there's three pluses there. So the score now is three pluses to zero minuses. Okay? At the end of the first inning, the end of the first verse. So, and then we come to verse number 14. But if you have, what's the two words there? Bitter envy. Bitter envy. They're definitely a negative. Just to simplify that, harsh and malicious jealousy. We're a whole lot more envious than we want to admit, aren't we? Boy, I wish I had that. Boy, I'd sure like to do that. Why can't I handle that? There's a whole, and that harsh and malicious. They've got those things that I'd like to have. I'd sure like to see them fall on their face and mess up. And And that's what Psalm 73 is about. God, I know you're good to Israel, but as for me, Elnai at my step, well, I've fallen, I mess up. All right, why don't you get at those people? That's bitter. That's wisdom from below. Harsh and malicious jealousy. There's definitely a negative. But, and again, that word but is a contrasting word. And then also in verse number 14, and strife in your heart. Not only malicious jealousy, but strife in your heart, desiring harm for that person. Yeah, that they've got that, but let me tell you something about them and thinking evil of that person. That's wisdom. And by the way, that wisdom from below will get you ahead in this world, but not in God's eyes. That'll help you to climb the corporate ladder or the worldly ladder if you want to do that, but that's not the wisdom that we ought to desire. And there's a identification. There's the second one. So the score is now, what, 3-2? Going on to verse number 14. Glory not. Just that little phrase there. And I know I'm picking these apart, and when you put them all in the context, you can see it a little bit better, but I'm just going to give you a definition of that. Glory not. Don't think I'm innocent. Don't fool myself to think, well, I'm not jealous. Well, I don't have a desire to see harm. Because that's a part of it. Amen. Unless we've got a perfect, sinless body, we still struggle. You see, that wisdom from above is a part of our nature. Glory not. Don't think that we're innocent. There's another negative. And then, when we think that we're innocent, the next phrase there, the next negative, and lie not against the truth. Lie not against the truth. Now, whether we realize it or not, it's just a part of our nature and who we are. We've got a lot of self-righteousness, don't we? Well, I'm better than so-and-so. And we compare ourselves with each other. And when we start to do that, we're blinded to reality because we think that we are something. We think that we've accomplished something. And there's definitely four negatives. Bitter envying, the strife in our hearts, the glorying not, don't think we're innocent, and to lie not against the truth, to blind, we're blinded by our own self-righteousness and thinking that we're better than somebody else when really we're nothing. We're undeserving of anything good that God would ever give us. It's only of His mercies that we're not consumed. Then in verse number 15, so we see now, what's the score on your paper there? Is it 3-4? 3 pluses and 4 negatives. Worldly wisdom and God's wisdom. The wisdom from above and the wisdom from below. Verse number 15. This wisdom descended not from above. Now it's very obvious we're talking about negatives here. But it is what? Earthly. This is the way the lost man lives. This is the natural man. It's earthly. The first Adam was of the earth and he was earthly. The book of Romans says. The second Adam was of God and he is heavenly, Christ. And our earthly wisdom, our natural state, our natural being, the way we normally, naturally think, that's why we don't trust our heart. The wisdom in our heart and our natural being is always. We read the Beatitudes, again, comparing the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount with James' writings is a fascinating study in and of itself, which brings us to the next one. No, we're not there yet. Let's see, where are we at? We're in verse number 15. Is earthly, the way of the lost man lives, or the carnal man lives, and then it is sensual, our natural, our fleshly desires, the natural desires we have to feed our flesh, to indulge ourselves in sometimes good things, and then to overindulge ourselves in those things. The natural fleshly desire, the sensuality of man. This is, again, another negative. And notice how these build, the earthly and then the sensual. That makes it more personal. And then it identifies where these things come from. The God of this world and the one who controls my natural state is the last one in that verse, and that is devilish. That's demonic in its origin. That's from the pit of hell. Well, that's right. I pushed God from the pit of hell. That's where our sin nature comes from. And that's who we are. We're earthly. We're sensual. We're devilish. And if we live that way, again, we can get ahead in the world with that kind of wisdom, but not in God's eyes. That's a negative kind of wisdom. The wisdom that descendeth not from above is earthly, sensual, devilish. There's three more there. So now we've got minus three in that verse. So now the total score is what? 3+ and -7, right? 3 positives and then 7 negatives. God, you're so negative. Look at verse number 16. We don't really see one. We could find one there, but I'm just going to go through that verse for the sake of time. For where envying and strife is, these are kind of repeats, there is confusion in every evil work. Our carnal testimony mocks the truth of God's grace. If we allow these things in our life, there's confusion. You know, we may call ourselves a Christian, but if we live according to the lust of the flesh and the desires of the world, just like the rest of the world, we're sending a mixed message to the world. And we're confusing people, and we've got a testimony that really mocks the grace of God. We say God saved us and God's changed us, but we're living just like the rest of the world. That's a mockery to God. I think of a verse in Romans. I'm trying to remember the reference, and now I'm trying to remember the reference, and I forgot what the verse says. The name of God is blasphemed through you. God's talking to the nation of Israel. You name the name of Christ, but you deny Him in your works, and God is blaspheming. You're blaspheming God. And He's talking to God's people in the book of Romans. And then verse number 17. Oh, we hear a whole list of them here. Now we're going to jump out in the league. We're going to get a grand slam, I think, here in baseball terms. But the wisdom that is from above. Here's a list of things that wisdom is from. How do we know that wisdom that we have, that wisdom we claim to have, is it of the earth or is it of heaven? It is first what? It's pure. That's the wisdom that comes from above. And then it's what? Peaceful. Again, comparing the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That's God's wisdom, a peacemaker. Now, you've been around people, maybe you've been that kind of a person. I know I have in some times in my life. When you come around, you just stir up trouble. You've been around people like that. You come around, there's just turmoil. Or when we come around, there's some kind of an air about them. So it's not a black cloud coming in. And they're just trouble. They cause a fight. Is he really that way, Connor? Yeah, Connor. Connor's his wife is under his conviction. There's the opposite of a peacemaker. There's the opposite of a wisdom from above, okay? There's another plus there. It's peaceable. It's, what's the next word? Gentle. It's mild. Doesn't get easily offended, easily upset. That's an unusual characteristic in our world today, isn't it? We're supposed to be upset and offended about everything. Not God's wisdom. And it's easy to be entreated. I like that statement there. Easy to be entreated. There's another plus. We've got quite a few pluses in this verse. We've got pure, there's one. Two, if peaceable. Three is gentle. And then fourth is easy to be entreated. That means it's approachable. Willing to, I like this, and some of the things I was looking at, it's willing to not only listen, but to yield our rights. Okay, we might be right, but are we willing to yield our rights for the good of someone else? It's easy to be entreated. You know, sometimes, don't talk to Dad, he's in a bad mood. Don't bring this up now. Some of you, Garrison, he's always in trouble, but he's about to get himself in trouble, but he's always in trouble. He's nudging Dad right now. Well, you got to catch Dad in the right mood. There's no time to talk to him about that. The wisdom of love is always easy to question, easy to ask, approachable, and willing to listen. And then the wisdom from above is full of not only mercy, for they shall obtain mercy again in the Sermon on the Mount. It's full of mercy. Mercy is a tender compassion. Merciful. Again, I'm just giving a very brief definition of these, and I love to study the words and try to understand what these words mean, and I'm just trying to make it as simple as I can. There's another plus. Another plus is good fruits. It's full of mercy and full of good fruits. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace, and long-suffering, gentleness, and meekness, and faith. And these things, they overlap, yes. But the good fruits, the Spirit fruits, the transformed life, wisdom from above is identified. And again, don't think, well, I need to be a better person. I need to be a more patient person. I need to have more fruit. I need to get more mercy in my life. No, if we have wisdom from above, this is how we identify it. Is the wisdom that we have from above, or is it from below? And then where are we at? Good fruits, and then without, what's the word? Partiality. James talked about that in the last chapter. No favoritism. No preferential treatment. Well, that's my kinfolk. They're my friend. They wouldn't do that. Being honest and real. That's something that is so prevalent in our lives as Christians. And it can destroy ministries. It can destroy the work of God. And I've seen it destroy churches of partiality. And then without what? Hypocrisy is another positive. Without hypocrisy. Not that it has hypocrisy, it's without hypocrisy. In other words, it's unfeigned, is a good Bible word. It's sincere. Not hypocritical. So in this verse, we see a plus 8, if I counted right. You see 8 of them on there? 8 of them. So now the score, the total score is what? Plus 11 and minus 6. Have I got that right? Minus 7. Look at that. We've gone from 7 to 6 without even trying. So we just took away. I'm not a very good referee, am I? I'm partiality, I guess. I'm showing partiality here. I just took away a point from the negative side there. But that's a good side to take away a point from. But it'd be 11 to 7. It should be, if I'm right. Or is it 8? The 7? Okay. Because that's going to mess me up in the next one, too. And then verse number 18. And the fruit of righteousness. I like that. Again, I understand the word righteousness in the Bible. And I mentioned it again this morning. I think maybe it was Sunday school class. I mentioned it again. Righteousness is God's scheme, a plan of redemption for lost men to restore them to a right relationship with Him to redeem lost sinners. The fruit of righteousness. In other words, it's a demonstration. of God's grace.
That's the righteousness.
God saved me. I'm a different person. You know, I wish I could say that when I got saved, I was instantly living according to God's righteousness. That I did away with my self-righteousness. But I still had a whole lot of the sin nature in me. I still do. A lot of the enemies that I caused to despise myself and Christianity, my early days of Christianity, was my own self-righteousness instead of God's righteousness. Hey, I'm a Christian. Look at me. I'm better than you because I'm a Christian. It's easy to get that attitude. Especially when you're around people that are mocking God and living in wickedness and doing all kinds of things. But the fruit of righteousness is the demonstration of God's righteousness. I deserve that God in His love loved me the cheapest of sinners. That's magnifying God's righteousness, not my righteousness, not my goodness. The fruit of righteousness is, a very positive one. And is sown in what? In peace. About God's wisdom. The wrath of God, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. That's what James. Bless God, I ought to let them have it. And I'd rather be a loving Christian than my enemy. And to show people the love of Christ rather than being right, being obnoxious. I wouldn't say being an idiot, but that's not very nice. Being obnoxious. But bless God, I'm right. To be at peace. And when we're at peace with God, we can much easier be at peace with others. Peace is being at harmony with God and with others. You know, I've got family members that are the exact opposite of everything that I believe is in. There's people in our community that believe exactly the opposite. I ran into a couple of those people. You know what? We don't have to blast them. We can speak peacefully to them. We're not going to win them by blasting them. We're going to win them by showing that, hey, I've got peace with God. And I love you just the way you are. And God loves you. And God wants you safe. And the peace of God, let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Therein is two positives for the wisdom that is from above. So we've got two more in verse number 18, the wisdom from above. So the total score now is what? 13. There's a lot of things to focus on there. 13 positive things, marks of God's wisdom. And seven things that God says that's the wisdom of this world. The test is, and as we look at the book of James, we're going to realize this is a test. God is showing me what's in my heart. And we would be a fool to say, well, I've got all these things down. In fact, I see as much of one as I do the other one. And what I need to do is not to focus on getting these things right and getting these scores. I need to focus on Jesus Christ and walking with Him and letting Him transform my life. Letting the Word of God, meditating and memorizing Scripture and reading the Scripture and letting Him transform. Having a hungering and a thirst for His righteousness. Not my own righteousness, but His righteousness. And I guess if I were to define what God's been helping me focus on is His righteousness. That I can do nothing without Him, but I can do all things. The Bible uses the term sanctification. And it's not a work that we do. We're so focused on, well, I've got to work on this. I've got to become a better person. I've got to raise this bar in my life. I've got to do, no, I just need to walk with God and see what He can do. And that hungering and thirst that God's given to me. read a book. I started reading it. I'll finish it tomorrow. I think I mentioned it already about a songwriter. And I picked it up before, and a number of books that I find myself reading, I've tried to read them before. In fact, a lot of them, I read a couple of chapters, and it was a little bit strange to me, but now I can't get enough of it because there's a new hunger, a new brokenness, a new desire, a new realization that I need God more than I've ever realized before. And oh, how we need Him, and we need His wisdom, the wisdom that is from above versus the wisdom that is from beneath. And it's amazing how content we are, whether we realize that when we truly search our heart, when we truly test our lives. You know, when you go to the doctor and you want to find out if you're sick, you want his test to be accurate, don't you? You don't want it to be a guess. Well, you know, you're really sick, but there's some good things about, you know, your insides are filled with cancer, but your eyes are really good. Well, you've got the best eyes I've ever seen. You don't want to hear that. You want the truth. And when we get into God's Word, we want to know the truth. And we want God to show us all how we need Him. And when we truly look at these things, and I know I went through them very quickly, when you study them out, you'll realize, boy, this is more a part of my life. God, forgive me. God, I need to confess this sin. And I need the wisdom from above, the wisdom from beneath that I've been content to live with. We're going to have the Lord's table.